everybody, this is Shells here. Let's talk about the music. This is episode 17, and this is on festival, my very first festival in Virginia, and the festival is called Amsterdam International Arts Festival. Now, before we get into the conversation, the interview, we're going to dive into the history behind festival, because you know we do this all the time on this podcast. Now, I notice I have read in the past where kind of lead to me not able to deliver properly. So I'm going to try to do my best to use key points on things. Alrighty, okay. So here we go, and see if I can actually do this properly without you going, "What is she talking about? She needs to learn how to read." All right, so. The history of art festivals goes back to ancient drama festivals, then medieval trades, and then the modern celebration of this culture today. Okay? Now, the ancient drama festival, first recorded as a drama festival, took place in 543 BC at the Athenian Great Dacia. It was playwrights, poetry compete to have their plays performed while the actors vivid for the title of the best performance. Now, before I move on to the next one, now Dacia is now called the city of Dacia, and Dacia is actually a god who actually loved wine festivity and ecstasy. So he's also known as Bukas. Bukas? Saying it wrong again. Anyway, and so that is what we were celebrating back then in the ancient time for that god. Okay? Now, it's moving forward to the medieval trade fairs. Now, the art festival originated in the Middle Ages as a trade fairs. They're first recorded as a trade took place in the Netherlands in 1464. Which art was the one of the main component of trade. Now, if you go to all of these Renaissance fairs these days, you will see that they have their modern art. They actually put blood and work into their art. Candle making, clay pottery, they even make your own sword. So those were the kind of things that they did back then. Okay, that was the main focus. Now, the modern arts festivals. Today, the arts festival celebration culture is a creativity. Often feature dance, music, theater, arts, and craft, both commentary and tradition art forms. These festivals are vivid to the local communities, generate pride and celebration to their local community. Okay? Now, this episode is on Amsterdam International Arts Festival, located in Williamsburg, Virginia. Now, this is actually part of a college called William and Mary, Mary College. So this is the 18 years of love they have grown into one day into a weekend celebration. Okay? Now, this festival originated in as a William and Mary Global Film Festival, and then evolved later on into the Amsterdam International Arts Festival that explores onto the whole entire weekend. And it's celebrated in March. Okay. Now, another fun fact with this festival, believe it or not, like every great idea, including this podcast, it was a college project that went boom. It was interesting to learn about that in the interview. Alrighty, so let's get to it. Papa Satch, play that theme song for us, and we'll get to it. Alrighty, hit it, guys! Let's talk about the music. Let's talk about the band. Let's talk about the music. Let's talk about the sound. Let's talk about the music.
Let's talk about it. Let's talk about the music.
Let's talk about it.
Let's talk about the music.
Everybody, this is Shells here. Let's talk about the music. I have a wonderful opportunity to get my very first festival interview from Amsterdam Festival. International Festival out there in Virginia. And we're going to get to know Adam and Liz, who are actually the producers team of the whole festival, right? Okay,
Yes,
so
yeah.
awesome. Rock on. All right, so we're going to go ladies first and then Adam. Tell us about yourself and what you do for the festival and all this stuff. Right now, between 3 to 5 minutes, all about you. So go
All
for it.
right. Well, thank you for having us. As you said, I'm Liz, and I'm one of the producers of the festival, the Ampersand International Arts Festival in Williamsburg, Virginia. And this will be our 18th year. So we're very excited. We've been going for a while. We started as a film festival, and then a few years ago, we expanded to encompass all the arts. So films, music, theater, dance, authors, professional workshops. We have a wide range of stuff going on at the festival. And we both went to school in Williamsburg at William and Mary and have worked with William and Mary and the city for many years. So that's sort of how we ended up getting involved in the festival because it started as part of a class on the William and Mary campus. And then it just kept growing and growing and growing. And it got too big to be part of a class. And so that's when we came in with our production company. And we were thrilled because of our connections to William and Mary in Williamsburg. So here we are at the 18th year, and we've got a lineup we're pretty excited about, including some really cool music guests.
Nice, very cool. All right, Mr. Adam, it's all about you. Tell us all about you.
Well, I think Liz did a very great job in summarizing the entire event relevant to this conversation. Yeah, where I'm also a co-producer on Ampersand International Arts Festival. I guess our company, AV Adventure, we've been around since 2011 and producing a variety of events and other fun things. So this is probably our largest event for the city of Williamsburg, but we produce other festivals related to things like comedy and cats and whiskey and tabletop games and other events that bring together fun communities of people. And a lot of those intersect with live music because live music is a core part of a lot of that performance and celebratory community.
Right. Awesome. Good. All right. Now I have a lot of questions for you guys. So, because a lot of people in this part of the world, like people in our West, may are not going to know who you guys are. So we're going to ask questions like, you guys are brand new to this world over here. Okay. All
Sounds
right.
good.
So, all right. The very first question, you kind of like summed that up already, is tell us the story behind the Ampersand International Art Festival. Well, you kind of did it in a way in your introductions, but is there a more elaborate how it all began besides you guys working with Mary and all that jazz? How did Mary approach you to make this more into a festival? Adam, I'll go back to
Okay, yeah, hey, sure. So there's the point when William & Mary said, hey, this has been a class project and it's really nice to do international films for a few days. We're looking for someone who has a background in production work, in logistical things, in film, and a connection to the college. And someone's like, oh, I know the people for that because we're both alums of the university and have a great familiarity with clients and the venues and the physical knowledge of the town that was key to expand something like this, as well as having to take relevant classes while we were students. We own a full videography production company, so we're familiar with, we produce in-house media. We kind of make our own marketing along with the event production that we do, and our skill sets all kind of just intertwined around the idea of running this festival. So we did so. Probably one of the more interesting recent year things is we have the festival annual meeting in the spring, which means we had one right before the COVID outbreak. It was kind of
Oh
like our
no.
last quote unquote normal
Good.
festival, like 2020. And then in 2021, we built a drive-in theater and did an online platform, kind of like a personalized Netflix. So for the next 2 years during the pandemic, we were able to kind of pivot and have distanced virtual festivals for a couple of years and keep that streak going. So that's kind of another little like story. And then coming out of that, we rebranded to the Ampersand Festival and expanded it from it went from 3 days to 4 days to seven. So now it's a 7 day film and live performance art festival with a new brand and new partnerships and new sponsorships, and it keeps getting bigger.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
So how did the name Ampersand name come by? What's the inspiration behind the name, Miss Liz?
Yes, yeah. Well, so the ampersand is the symbol for and that you see, like the fancy looking symbol for and instead of writing out the word. And it's also what you see in the name of the university, William and Mary. They use the ampersand instead of writing out the word and. Okay. And so it's kind of a nod to William and Mary, and also a nod to all the collaborations that happened to make the festival possible. So it's supported by William and Mary and the city of Williamsburg and Colonial Williamsburg, which is a big nonprofit foundation in like a living history museum. I think that's what a lot of people think of when they think of Williamsburg is Colonial Williamsburg.
Mm-hmm.
And also we just encompass all the arts. So, you know, we encompass this and that and that and that. And so it just seemed like a fun way to acknowledge all of that in the name.
Kind of funny because I used to live in Virginia for a little while, and I actually lived right by, I was between Blackstone and Victoria, Virginia. And so I think I actually went to that campus. I think I have to pinpoint where it was, and that's where I got the idea of putting this podcast together for independent musicians.
Cool.
Yeah, so it's kind of funny that you're talking about Williamsburg. Like, wait, I used to live close by there.
Yeah, well, it's funny. I mean, anybody who grew up nearby probably went on a field trip there as a kid, you know, if you were within driving distance. Yeah.
My producer at one time was going to help me figure out what I wanted to do with this podcast. And he goes, why don't you just do it with college bands? And we went through a college. I don't know what college it was, but went through a college. And that's how I got this idea to do this podcast. So it's kind of interesting. It's kind of like coming all together.
Yeah.
All righty. So let's get back to the festival. So you guys talk about you've been here for 18 years. So how did the festival have grown or evolved since that, especially, I guess, 18, you guys do the comedy doing a week. What else has been growing since throughout the 18 years you had not mentioned yet? I'll go to Adam.
Sure.
Yeah. In addition to kind of just expanding the amount of content and the variety of content of the festival, I think we've also seen a really strong return community grow that has made this festival a thing they come to every year. So that's something that with the growth, with the diversity of programming, especially filmmakers, so folks who work in the arts and entertainment industry, a lot of alums at William & Mary have come to realize that a festival of this scope, it's really lovely because it has world-class talent and world-class programming, but it's in a small town. It's kind of like when you find that sweet spot with a small town music or film festival, where if you hang out at the right bar afterwards, you're going to talk to the people that were on stage earlier that night, and you're able to make connections and take those back home with you afterwards. And people find that it's both a really fun social thing to do and a reason to take a really fun trip to a cool community you maybe haven't been to, but then also to have professional development come from it is really nice. And then people come back a year later and they're like, hey, look at this thing I made with someone I met here 2 years ago. Look at this film I made. Look at this project we're working on. I'm writing the music for a soundtrack of this person's movie because we met after a show here, you know, and that kind of stuff is naturally happening and building and growing with the festival over the years.
Nice. Very cool. Very cool. Liz, have anything else to add to that?
Yeah, just to expand on that, I want to say the whole community building aspect of the festival is one part that makes it really rewarding to work on the festival. And it's really fun to hear people's stories, especially because we do have a lot of university students that come. And so they're really eager to learn from people that are actually working in the field that they want to go into when they graduate. And they often reach out people are very welcoming to the students reaching out to them. So they love connecting with them, offering any tips and lessons learned that they've picked up along the way. And many students tell us they got their first internship or their first job through connections they made at the festival. And so we're always thrilled when we hear that. I mean, you know, we've only heard so many stories. I feel like there's a lot more that we don't even know about.
Cool. That's awesome. Hang on, turn off my ringtone here. Okay, so let's highlight go into the festival itself. So what makes Amsterdam International Art Festival unique compared to other festivals in the area? So is this, anyone can start.
Yeah, great question. Well, I would say I think it's really the breadth of our programming, that we just encompass everything: special guests, films, music, theater, dance, authors, and the professional workshop series. Mm-hmm. And I think just the variety we offer, and then also the community aspects, because even if it's your first time attending the festival, I think you can really sense that the community vibe, and that people are really open to connecting and hearing about what you're working on, what you're interested in, and offering any tips and helpful hints that they can.
Okay, Adam?
Yeah, I mean, everything Liz said. I would throw in that also the community itself is really unique. The city of Williamsburg is a charming place. A lot of people here in Williamsburg, even folks within an hour or two away, and they just think of that Colonial Street in the middle, Duke of Gloucester okay. Street, where all the people are wearing the old-timey outfits, and that's fun, and that's there, and it's a living museum. But the city is also just a really cool small city that has unique restaurants and cool stores and fun things to do. And the city's also changed a whole lot. Liz and I were students there a couple decades ago, and it the time then, you know, it was like it very much was campus in a bubble, and there wasn't a lot to do within walking distance. Now that downtown Williamsburg is vibrant and exciting, yeah. And there's a lot going on. So not only do we have alums coming back who haven't been back in years and are now big professionals in their fields, and they're like, wow, this place has really changed since I was here. We also have people coming from out of town to check out this incredible programming who are like, oh, I thought Williamsburg was just a person making barrels. I had no idea about these cool breweries or these delicious restaurants or these new stores that have cool, trendy things like right here, all in one place. So it's a way to experience a city that you maybe haven't fully considered,
right?
While also checking out, like having this great festival to give you something to do around the clock.
Cool, rock on. All right, so can you walk us through some of the outstanding performance or exhibits planning for this year?
Oh yeah.
Little background snippets, you know, little secrets. go ahead, Liz.
Yeah. Wait, you want us to walk you through some of the programming? Is that right?
Yeah.
Or you're okay, great. I'm gonna start with the music.
Okay, go course. For it.
Yes. So we're really thrilled. One of our spotlight guests is a band called The Lone Bellow. And so they debuted in 2013 with a self-titled album, and they've been going strong ever since. And one of the things that they're known for is their raucous live performance. They give a really good show. So we're particularly happy to have them perform. And another special part of this performance is that one of the musicians is also an alum of William & Mary. So it's really cool to bring her back to campus. She was in an a cappella group as a student. And so she was already nurturing her love of music then. And she's been pursuing music ever since and built a really cool career out of it. So that's one of our spotlight guests on Tuesday, March 18th. Of course, he's not performing music, but we do have Rev Run as a guest just to talk about his career, his very iconic career in music, and just telling the story of how all of that came about. And then, I mean, he's still very active in the entertainment industry. He's written books, he's done TV shows. So just talking about his life as an artist and his creative process. He'll be there for a conversation and then a meet and greet. There are a limited number of tickets for people that want an opportunity to meet him after the program. And we have a, it's called Improv Story. It is improvised soundscapes. Yes. Yeah. So Victor Haskins is also on the music faculty at William & Mary. And he gives this performance where it is very much in the moment. He describes it as immersive cinematic story-like soundscapes. Yes. So it's just him, but he has different instruments that he uses to create these. And there's also a talkback aspect to the performance where he engages with the audience. So it's very much, you know, a shared experience for people that go.
Cool. Mr. Adam, want to add anything to that? Maybe
I
towards
mean,
the maybe towards the exhibits plans, maybe?
There's there's one other music event that I'm pretty excited for. It's called,
go for it. Sorry.
Here, I'll give you one more music event. The festival has over 50 events, so we could just sit here and chat events at you pretty hard for an hour. But also there's one called Masters of Silent Comedy with the Peacherine Ragtime Society Orchestra. It's the Ragtime Society Orchestra it's a large band, I believe 12 piece. And they do classic silent film projection. So, you know, like Charlie Chaplin, Buster Keaton, all these 100-year-old movies. And then they do the live scores for the silent films in the theater. And then in between the films, they also fill in with additional covers of old ragtimey songs like Scott Joplin, Ivan Berlin, things like that. So you get the whole ragtime concert experience while guessing getting the old-timey film experience. And that's going to be on Friday, March 21 at the Glenn Close Theater, which is a brilliant, beautiful, brand new performing arts complex at William & Mary. It's a large theater there that is going to be it's very exciting. Named after alumna Glenn Close pretty recently. It's a new space. So that's another music situation that's going down the fest.
Awesome.
Yes. And in the process of coordinating that, I learned that the silent film experience, like back in the 20s, it was very interactive. They encouraged the audience to react to the screen, you know. So if a villain comes on screen, for example, everybody would boo and that would all be encouraged. And so the Peacherine Ragtime Society Orchestra does the same thing at their shows. They really encourage people to be vocal, interact. They play music between the movies, and they also play the audience out at the end of the show. So I think it's going to be a pretty cool performance.
Yeah, I think I was doing some research on you guys last night, and I saw some videos of you guys doing a black and white video of that silent thing that you just mentioned. So that's interesting that you're going to incorporate the audience with that kind of atmosphere that haven't been done for quite some time. That's pretty cool. I'm sorry, Adam, I cut you off by accident. Go ahead.
No. I think in addition, just to make sure they don't slip through while we're talking about music programming, Liz mentioned earlier the Industry Summit, which is a series of free workshops and sessions for people. And some of those touch on music as well, the most notable of which would be one on songwriting by singer-songwriter Connor Malloy, who was originally a UK-based singer-songwriter and is now in the US living in Virginia. And he'll be doing a session on his overall journey as a musician, the path that he kind of took. He's done music for podcasts and films and at special events. And he's had a real musical journey that he's going to share as part of a free workshop on the Friday of the festival. There's also other stuff like that kind of gets in the weed. Like if you've ever been curious about how people utilize music and edit audio for movies, there's a workshop on cinematic sound. Or if you've ever been curious about how music gets cleared rights, you know, you hear a song, a needle drop, as they say in a TV show or movie, where you hear a song, you're like, oh, how did that end up in there? There's a workshop that talks about the rights and clearances that come with taking music and putting it into works like film and TV. So there's a lot of other stuff. It's not just, you know, playing music here's a concert. We've got that, but we're also integrating music in really interesting ways professionally. And there's, those programs are all free for people to come and learn at the festival.
Is now is that part of the exhibit for this year? With all the
Yeah, it's part of what we call
workshops?
the Industry Summit Workshop Series. It's about a dozen sessions. They run all week long. The first one's actually the cinematic sound one, and the last one is actually the rights and clearances one. But all in between, there's that songwriting thing. There's stuff about pursuing a life in comedy, how to be a film director, maybe researching, doing like entertainment-based research for a project. There's stuff on dance. There's everything. We got a little bit of everything. So it's fun to go in there, and if you go to the website and check it out, you can see not only the panel descriptions but the bios and all the incredible people presenting those, most of whom are William & Mary alums working in the industry, but there's also some festival guests coming in to present their work and also teach workshops while they're here.
Okay, so I know you guys have a lot of artists and performers that are alumni. Now, is there anybody coming outside of the college want to come in and be part of this festival too?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, not everyone that is presenting work or a special guest is an alum of the college. That's just a relationship we try to foster and support alumni from the community as they build their careers. But like I mentioned, Rev Run, he did not go to William and Mary. He doesn't have a connection to the university, but he's one of our spotlight guests. Another spotlight guest, James Murray, a comedian. Known as Murr from Impractical Jokers, he not an alum, but he's coming back. So we're thrilled to have anybody in the industry come and share their work with the community. But we do have a focus on William & Mary alumni.
All right. Adam, you want to say something?
No, that's it.
Okay, cool. All right. So Mary basically called you guys a multi-purse, multi, I cannot pronounce this word. I've been trying a multitask dispater team. Okay, never mind. We'll skip that
Oh,
question.
I mean, I don't know. We're a production team. We have a lot of roles, wear a lot of hats. So
Okay.
multi something something sounds about right.
Right. So how do you balance something? So how do you balance so many different and art forms under one event? How do you balance it all?
It's a great question.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, we might
Anyone
have
have an
different answers
answer?
to this. I don't know. Well, we look at it like we're kind of curating a really, I mean, we've never phrased it like this, but it's like a bouquet of flowers, I think. It's like you're trying to create a really lovely thing that has this unifying presence. And in this case, it's dynamic, engaging arts programming. It's like stuff that's really exciting from different genres and different backgrounds and different types of programming. But you got one or two gems in each of those in this bouquet that you put together. So it's a week of really stellar things. To me, a good festival is something where you lend yourself over to the programming of it. You're like, you carve that time out on your calendar and you're like, I'm going to this city, I'm going to this festival, and I'm gonna let the festival program to me. And I'm gonna just go in, and this is something that I've heard of and I really want to do, and this is something I maybe haven't heard of. And you trust that the festival is gonna hand you an incredible lineup of offerings. And I think we do that. I think there's, we have these touchtone speakers and these legacy talks and these concerts and this comedy. But there's also other things, like we have filmmakers that do Q&A sessions. You can see both some of the greatest international films over the past year that you're probably going to hear about soon on the Oscars. You can come see those on the big screen in a beautiful art house theater. You also can see these other filmmakers who have done really notable work, nationally, regionally, and are available for Q&A sessions to meet and greet after their films. So I don't know. I think to me, the art of curation and the diversity of the programming is our job as producers to put together a meaningful slate of events that anyone who just came to the festival with no prior research of what they were going to do on a moment-to-moment basis would have a really amazing time, cross-disciplinary, over the course of their dates in Williamsburg.
Miss Liz, you want to add something to that?
Well, just build on it. I mean, I think that was well said, and I agree with Adam. Like, a big part of it is discovery. You know, we hope that people come to the festival through seeing something that they like. You know, maybe they're a fan of the Lone Bellow or Rev Run, and so that gets their attention. But then when they start looking at the full program, they think, oh, okay, well, that sounds interesting. You know, like, what is this improv story thing, or what is this one woman play? And so then they'll check out other things while they're here, because we do hope to foster an appreciation of the arts and people and introduce them to new types of art and new artists.
So, how do you, are there any challenges or benefits of working with such a big variety of artistic people?
The artists themselves, I think. We're pretty lucky in that we don't have to deal with the eccentricities of like we don't have a lot of crazy stories from the green room kind of situation.
Oh, dang it.
I know, I know, I know. Seen some writers over our time, you know, that have fun food requests, but for us working with artists is, you know, we really enjoy working with artists who are excited to be with the festival, and present what they're working on, you know. It's not like a kind of thing where people are being thrown at us against their will or against our will and having to work together, you know, in that regard. It's a pretty positive engagement from the get-go through the actual festival.
Yeah,
I will say, just from a production standpoint, of one of the logistical challenges is just making sure that the schedule works in a way, you know, because like a theater production, for example, generally requires a decent amount of setup and rehearsal time. And so if we're going to have a theater, a play in the festival, we need to make sure that they have the proper rehearsal time, setup time, and all of that. So just making everything work in a week can sometimes be challenging. And that's just more about logistics than the artists.
Cool.
Think
Rock
there's
on.
also a marketing angle to that too, where like if you run a concert venue, people are looking to see what you're putting up every month. Just like if you're running a movie theater, what's the movie theater? So if you're running a series or you're running a music only festival, you go and you're looking, you're like, what are the 20 bands here? We have a festival that we have half a dozen music related acts at, along with 45 other programs. So it's the kind of thing where having people be aware that great music is a part of this larger arts festival is a bit of a unique marketing challenge, as opposed to being like, I run a music hall. Here's this month's 20 shows. That's easy. This is a little more asking people to look a little deeper, look a little further to understand that. And that can be tough given how quickly people move through, you know, events and marketing and things like that.
All right, so how do can you share anything that stands out with different things that actually might come up that merges into an unexpected or magical way during the festival?
Unexpected things that come up. We do have one of our beautiful art venues, one of our big art house venues, is a really lovely theater called the Kimball Theater, right there on that main Colonial Street in Williamsburg. And it was built over 100 years ago. So
Oh,
it has
wow.
unique challenges to it, kind of structurally and from an audiovisual standpoint. And it's actually in a really exciting place of transition where they've just put in new speakers and they're fixing up the screen and it's audio is great. But when sometimes you're bringing in a big act that's used to playing these giant arenas, and you have a 400 seat art house theater. It's a beautiful space. It's really acoustically designed, but it has weird quirks about the back. You know, it has weird AV stuff that you kind of got to get on a phone call about. That stuff is kind of unique with our fest is venues. And I think you see that a lot in smaller towns. I mean, in Williamsburg, there's talk, you know, you can look in the news and there's talk about different performance venues and where do different things go. And in Richmond right now, just less than an hour up the road, they're building a huge, thousands and thousands of seat venue on the river that's going to open this summer. But they're also talking about what do I do with the Richmond Coliseum? But then out in the county outside of Richmond, they're building a, I think, a 17,000 person venue. Like that's venues are an interesting and, I want to say headache inducing, but venues are a big logistical factor in production that probably goes a bit quiet if it's not part of your job.
All righty. Liz, anything else you want to add to that?
Oh no, I was just gonna share another anecdote about Kimball, is that the lobby is very small, and it was built that way on purpose because they wanted the people to spill out into the street to make it seem like whatever was showing was very in demand. And so it's just such a funny dynamic of the building now because there's really no room in the lobby, so there's nowhere for people to go. So sometimes that's just another like logistical quirk we have to work through sometimes.
Okay.
Yeah,
All
we
right.
hope for good weather. No rain, please.
Yes.
No rain.
Yes. That would be nice. All right. So let's go into the community and the impact of it all. Okay. So we kind of already did that a little bit. So let's go dive more into it. So how is the local community in Virginia responding to the festival over the years? I mean, you're year 18. So how did it start from year one to now? Because now you've grown into like a week-long festival. How did it gradually get this big? How did the community enjoy this?
Oh, the community's been supportive. Yeah. I mean, we definitely have people that come every year and they're excited to see the programming, to talk about, what they've seen in past years. And so it's really fun to have, that regular attendance and then start to see it grow. I mean, now that it's a week-long festival, there's just more programming to attend, of course. So there's more opportunities for people to come, and we do see that some people come and make a weekend out of it. And that's really fun because then, like we've been talking about, there's a lot of things to do in Williamsburg outside of the colonial history. And in addition to the festival, right, there's just great restaurants downtown. And it's just nice because it's a beautiful area to walk around in. And you can just park somewhere and then leave your car there and have a great time. You don't need to drive anywhere. There's just lots of nice streets to walk around in. So,
So I guess what I'm trying to say is that from year one to now, has anyone gave you guys any feedback from when you guys started to where you guys now? Any
there's
feedback?
always feedback. I mean, I think one of the pieces to apply directly to your question is when it started, it was like a one-track festival where everything was in one venue and you could see everything if you just carved out the 3 days of the festival, because everything happened there. And now it's like a six, seven venue week-long event. It's a festival. Stuff's happening. You have to make choices. There's cool shows happening at the same time, and you can't be two places at once. And so there was some growing pains from some long-timers who actually were like, hey, now I have to choose what I want to see because I can't see every single program, because there's so much now. And we're like, well, that's a festival. I think to us that's a positive. That's a sign of growth, and that's a good thing for a festival. And to attract people to a program, you got to have more stuff going on. And I think the other thing that maybe is notable about the growth of the festival is, like, it started as a primarily William and Mary thing, and has since expanded. Like, you can look at Williamsburg as kind of three big bubbles: the College of William and Mary, the city of Williamsburg, including all those cool new shops and downtown and restaurants and all that stuff we're talking about, like the modern city, and then the colonial Williamsburg area. And this festival, I would venture to say, more than most other events that I'm aware of in the area, really is at the intersection of all three of those. It's like a real good Venn diagram, because the main sponsor of the event is the city of Williamsburg, who is backing this event as a major tourism and local event for the community. Obviously, William & Mary has a huge impact in all the alumni programming that we do, as well as program sponsorships from William & Mary, the Alumni Association, and the Muskrally Museum of Art. And then our main venue is a Colonial Williamsburg Theater right there in the downtown historic area. So we really stand on the line. Like, all three of those partners come together super meaningfully in this festival, which is pretty unique. Like, the city does its own stuff. Colonial Williamsburg has its own programming forever. It's a big old outdoor history museum. And William & Mary is just its own machine going most of the year. But to be able to take those three and be like, hey, focus on a week together, it's pretty special. And we do it right after William & Mary's spring break. So it's this nice time of year that William and Mary students, like, are kind of in that last act of reflecting on the end of the semester, but there's still time to enjoy and appreciate programming. The city's like, the weather, the flowers are coming out. It's real beautiful. It's a great time to do, as Liz said, park that car and walk around that downtown area. Like, March is real peak time for that. And then Colonial Williamsburg in the spring is also kind of like getting into its groove of the year. So I don't know. I think the intersection of those parts of the community is really exciting and helps define the festival uniquely to Williamsburg.
Cool. All right. So, is there any favorite memories for the first? So say 17 years, because 18 hasn't started yet. So, any favorite memories for the past 17 years of doing this festival? I'll go with Liz first. Any memories?
Well, I mean, of course, it's always funny when, worlds collide, like your personal life and your professional life kind of mesh together. And I will say, if anyone's familiar with a movie called The Room, it's known as the best worst movie ever made. If you've ever seen it, you know why. And so this is a film that we screened in Williamsburg for fun, separate from the festival. And then recently it was the 20th anniversary of the film. So we did a special anniversary screening as part of the festival and brought back one of the actors, Greg Sestero. And so that was just a fun moment of kind of like this film that we had enjoyed for many years and then able to actually fold it into part of the festival. And it was a great program. People came, they were so excited to see the 20th anniversary screening.
That was a good one. That was a good one. That might that's a good answer to that question. I think I'll give another like, man, over time, it's funny how these things go. The first year that we were producers of the festival, we had a film called The Tiger Hunter, which was the first feature film vehicle of this actor Danny Pudi, who's known for a bunch of TV stuff and voice acting. And he was unable to come. The director, the producer, and another actor from the film came. And it was the first film at the first ever version of this festival that we are leading. And it was great. It was a great show. And then several years later, Danny Pudi had his first ever project that he fully backed and made. It was a personal biopic about his life, about his relationship with his father, that was going to be a stage play, and COVID happened, and then it became a short film instead. So you have this person who kind of like had this quiet presence at our first ever event that we were responsible for, and then later on goes and makes something at the intersection of theater and film. And Liz and I are both fans of him and his work. And we brought him to town for that to show that short. And it was not a thing that he had toured a bunch. It was really personal and really meaningful for him to come to town. He absolutely loved Williamsburg. He was just the nicest guy possible. And to be able to see that and show his work and have that be a program that took place in that space at that festival years later was really nice. It was a really good full circle moment and very satisfying.
Nice. Cool. All right. So let's talk behind the scene, shall we? The
Have we not
meat.
been behind the scenes this whole time?
No, actually, we can talk about the impact. You have the focus, the highlights, but now we're going to go behind the scenes of stuff.
Okay. Where are we
Okay.
going?
All righty. So the organization of the international. So the festival must be a huge undertaking. What is the biggest challenge you're facing this year?
I mean, yeah. I guess it's good. Neither of us have an immediate answer to that
Yeah,
question.
obviously
We both
not.
need to we gotta think about that for a second.
Okay. Oh, we can pass that question. It's not a big deal. I can pass the whole entire section right there.
No,
Okay.
you're welcome to ask questions. It's just
Okay.
I think we've kind of been tiptoeing through
Right,
the
right,
behind the scenes the whole
right.
time as producers. Everything we do is behind the scenes, right?
Okay, all
It's
right.
like we're not on that stage talking about our act, and then we're kind of breaking down what how we get there. That's where we
Okay.
start. Is
All right.
no, our challenges is you listening to this podcast saying you can't make it across the country to come to Williamsburg. I don't want to hear that excuse. I don't care if you're on the West Coast. Check out that programming. Take a chance. You think the people who went to the early Sundances all lived in Utah? No. Get on a plane. That's the challenge. That's the challenge.
Challenge.
That's
Yeah,
the biggest
yeah.
challenge we're facing is the listeners of this show.
Exactly. Alrighty, so how do you think they stay inspired to do this festival?
Good question. Yeah, I mean, I think it is definitely I think it always feels a bit overwhelming at the start, but we have collaborators, and so that always helps kind of ground us and focus us on different things because, we have collaborators in the city and at the university that give their input about the programming and potential guests. And so, and then past guests also that we're still in touch with will reach out with suggestions and say, hey, have you talked to this person? They just have a new project. I recommend you reach out to them, that sort of thing. So I would say definitely word of mouth from our collaborators and partners is a big source of inspiration that helps us keep up the momentum.
And just the
All right.
positive feedback and community building too. Liz already talked about this earlier, so this is only for
Yeah.
people who skipped ahead to this part of your show. But the
Right.
idea that there's all kinds of folks who have had their lives meaningfully impacted through attendance of the festival, and we hear all these great stories, and we just get all this really great feedback. It's also, it's like we're a two-person team, and we work real well together. So I think it would be a lot trickier if this was like a team of 20 and there was a lot of like production drama and just kind of dealing with jobs and people and whatnot. But Liz and I are pretty nimble and efficient as a two-person production team that have worked together a long time and have that level of, comfort and respect. So that helps get the work done quite a bit, I think more than other people in similar positions.
All right. So, where do you see this festival heading towards the next 5 years?
Going to be an
You guys
eight
plan that
month
long?
long, yeah, it's going to be a year-round innovation festival for the arts. No, where's it headed? Where's it headed? It's in a good place. Liz, you were about to actually answer.
No, I it yeah, 8 month innovation festival. No, it's I mean, I think, we'll continue on this path, just growing and getting the word out, drawing more people to Williamsburg for the festival. I really think that's it. And I mean, it is kind of this snowball effect, right? Where the past attendees that are working in the industry maintain their connection to the festival and to other presenters. And so, and that's meaningful to them, and they continue to stay involved. And so that's a big part of how we grow, right? Is the university students that got their first job or internship because of the
Right.
festival will always remember us and hopefully come back when they can. And so, and we've already seen that happen. And we think that that's just gonna really help with the festival's continued growth and success over the years. Cool.
It's also fun to see people hit it big. Like there's a writer director named Cord Jefferson who won the Oscar last year for his debut feature film, American Fiction. And he's been back to the festival a few times over the years. He's a William & Mary alum who went around the time when we went. And last year he won the Oscar and then came to the festival a week later to give a keynote conversation event. And that is just so fun because it's not just like, hey, look at this person who's accomplished this incredible thing coming back to share it with the community. It's like, hey, look at this person who we've watched their career over the past several years. And now we get to celebrate it. And it feels special. It feels unique. And I think our festival, although robust in its programming and scope, is intimate enough that that's felt kind of throughout the program and by the people attending. So I think there's a little bit of special sauce in there just by the nature of where it is and how big it is. And I think we're aware of that and want to keep that going forward with what this is, while also getting people to Williamsburg to check out cool stuff.
Well done. All right. So, how would you any positive message you want to give to people who want to start their own festival? Have you
I
guys helped
mean,
anybody? Have you encouraged anybody or?
yeah, we have. I mean, yeah, my first thought was just like, go for it. Yes. Like, it is a big undertaking. And we have talked to other universities have reached out to us just saying, like, we are looking to start a festival. Could you share some of your story? Things like that. So we're always happy to connect with people that do it. I mean, I think the biggest and obvious challenge is just funding, right? If you're just starting out, how to get that going, or is it all volunteer acts, or just that's kind of the first logistical hurdle you have to tackle. But I do think that your commitment as the festival producer really shows, and it's so essential, especially when you're just starting out. And so if you really believe in the mission of the festival and you can get a small group of people on board with you, I think your chances of success are much higher.
Yeah, and I would throw in, if you're going to have a group of people work on a thing, try to find one person who knows what they're doing, who's like done this before, done event things, and have them show up with the lowest stakes possible. So it's like, hey, we want you to just come to a meeting once a month and be a fly on the wall. And if we have questions, you're going to answer them. And that's kind of the extent of it, because that person may be able to be like, hey, you might need to leave a little more time on that schedule, or I can give you an idea of what that's going to cost. You have no idea. Like things like that, considerations that people learn over the first year or two doing an event. It'd be nice to just have mentorship in that space for someone to kind of help you along, if you're lucky enough to know someone in your area who does these kinds of things.
Now, you guys talk about educational and collaboration. Have you guys take on a student that might want to do their own festival?
Yeah.
Well, we have some student interns involved in the festival.
Okay, good.
And so they are interested in production work, which is part of what drew them to the internship. So we'll see if they go on to start their own festival. That would be very cool.
Yeah, very cool. All righty here. So, how can listeners come to support you guys?
Come to the
Yeah, well, and
fest.
huh? Was that?
Come to the
He said,
events.
come to
Come to
the
the events.
festival.
No, come to the events. Yeah,
I
come to the events.
would say normally, like coming out of COVID, we had a lot of years where we did hybrid stuff, especially films, and then we had the industry summit was often
Right.
Zoom and in person. But this year, kind of all in person. We're really feeling that in person vibe.
Gunfall.
So, but if you can get your bum to Williamsburg, Virginia, I will say, like look at that schedule, but then there's so much free programming. Like you can take those workshops all week for free. You can go to all the William & Mary filmmaking stuff that's on that page on our website for free. It's, our big things, if you want to go to that big concert or that cool silent film show or listen to Rev Run speak, there is a ticket. We also think our ticket prices are incredibly fair for the programming we offer. None of our normal tickets in the door go above $35. And in times when people are hitting up, concerts, let alone like a Taylor Swift price tag, and I'd put Rev Run on a podium before I would Taylor Swift. Is that controversial on your podcast? I'm coming for you, listeners. I'm coming. You can spend $6,000 to go see Taylor Swift in Japan, or you can get a $35 ticket after you get to Williamsburg to see Rev Run. And we all have our trade-offs. But yeah, I think that's we really kind of pride ourselves on creating that experience that if you can get yourself to town and you're willing to give Williamsburg a chance and the festival a chance, that you're going to have a strong, experience through all the different events that we put up.
Liz, when I say something also to that?
Oh no,
Okay.
I can't follow up.
Just checking. All right, so how can people get involved with this festival?
Yeah, well, I mean, in addition to joining us, follow us on social media, and also, I mean, we take submissions of work. You can sign up for our email list and see if you're able to submit your work to the festival and maybe be featured one year.
Nice. Alrighty. So, Adam, you have this look on your face. You want to say something?
No, I was just reflecting on how normal, professional, and rational that answer was when I dunked on Taylor Swift 90 seconds ago. So that was what my face was.
You're good. You're not
Yeah,
the
yeah, yeah.
only. You're not the only one that has went off on Pink and Taylor Swift. So you're not the first. Trust me, you're not
Hey,
the
for the
first.
record, I didn't go off on Pink. I didn't go off on music hero Pink, just in case anybody's listening.
Right, no, I'm just saying. So when people have done, I love pink too. So I get you, I get you.
Okay.
So all right, so all right. So and this is all about promoting, promote the festival. I know we've been saying it, but there's one shot right here. Where is it? When is the show showing up? What is the tickets? And how can we find you guys all in one? You can split it up in two. I don't care.
Well, thank you. Yes, we hope that people will find us. It's the Ampersand International Arts Festival, ampersandfestival.com on the web. And you can also find us on social media, AIAF Festival.
Perfect.
Yeah, and follow us that way for updates. It's happening March 17th through 23rd in Williamsburg, Virginia.
All right, and tickets, Adam, how much is a ticket?
Tickets are available at ampersandfestival.com/tickets. Tickets range in price from $0 to $35. There is a $50 ticket if you want to meet Rev Run in person. But for the most part, tickets run from $0 to $35. When I say zero, you don't have to get tickets ahead of time. There's a lot of things you can just walk into. But the majority of our programs are either $16, $20, or $35, depending on the event.
All right, cool.
Or
All right.
12. Movies are
Or 12.
12. Oh,
Okay.
jeez. Gotta do the whole thing over.
All right. Do you want to
No, I don't want to do it over.
Oh my God, seriously? All over again? What?
No. We're doing it live.
Righty. So is any last things you guys want to say about anything? I don't care what it is. This is open house now. Open freely question. Last minute call.
Amazing. No, we also produced the Virginia Cat Festival, and Adam's wearing the sweatshirt. Yeah.
Ooh, I like that
So,
one. Tell us about that one real quickly. Even though it was part of it, but still, Virginia Cats.
yeah,
What?
right? Yeah, it's a celebration of all things cats. And people most frequently asked question is, will there be cats there? The answer is yes. And that's because there are kittens up for adoption, and then there's also celebrity cats. And so these are cats that are there for meet and greets, but they're cats that are used to being in crowds and interacting with strangers because we know that most cats prefer to be at home in their own environment.
Right,
But
right.
it's a good time. It's in the fall in Williamsburg as well, so yet another reason for everybody to come see us in Williamsburg, Virginia.
All right. All right, I got one last question. I don't do this on every single episode, but I'm going to do this with you guys, okay? Is where you guys get to put me on the hot seat and you guys can ask me one question each.
All right.
Okay. I
Okay.
wish I could really reflect on this. I feel like I've been just gifted quite the thing.
I know. Okay. Well, okay, here's one. So what would be your dream podcast guest?
Oh my God, I have loads of them. I want New Kids on the Block on here. I would
Fun.
like to interview gosh, Nine Inch Nails. I will love to interview Pink. I will love to pick that woman's brain. Oh my gosh. So those are like the top people I want to interview.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm gonna ask you because Liz handled the kind of the music interview by default, and I'll ask because we come with the unique angle of the Arts Fest. What's the best movie? It doesn't matter when it came out that you've seen in the past year or two. What's your favorite movie you've recently seen?
I will have the what really got me engaged is
Whatever, however you want to define
yeah
it.
okay it's not a movie, it's a series I just got done watching called The Alienist. It's on Paramount Plus. I binge watched that thing. It's a two season. I binge watched it. I'm like, oh my God. She the lead, the person in charge, Nicole Kidman is in it, and the other lady, I can't think of her name. She was oh God, the green alien in I can't think of her name. But anyway, she was in it, and she had two roles. She was a mother and a badass in charge military woman going after big people and in the army. I'm just like, oh my God, it's great. So I was just intrigued with that one. So the Lion is on Paramount Plus. Go watch that shit.
Okay.
Stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, it's your podcast. You swear all you want. Zoe Saldana? Is it Zoe Saldana,
Yeah, Zoe. It was Zoe.
the
It was
green lady
Zoe.
from Guardians of the Galaxy?
That's the movie I think of. Yes. So
Okay.
yeah, go watch The Lioness. That's really, really badass. Really badass.
In Emilia Perez, one of the biggest films of the most recent year. Not showing at the
Wow.
festival, but you'll hear about it on the award circuit.
Yeah, even Freeman is actually in The Lioness too. He plays the sidekick of the Secretary of State. He's in it too. Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, Morgan Freeman. He is in that too. So it's really a great series. Only two seasons. I wish there was more of it, but it's only two seasons. So it's really, really amazing.
Okay.
All
That's
right, cool.
amazing. Good rec.
Yeah, you're welcome. All right. Well, thank you guys so much for coming on to the podcast. I appreciate it. And I know I'm not able to get there this year, but I'll definitely put you guys on the docket for next year for sure.
Oh,
Okay.
sounds great. Thank you so much.
You're very
Yeah, it's been
welcome.
fun. Thanks.
You're welcome. Thanks for listening to Let's Talk About the Music. I hope you enjoyed today's topic. Remember, the show is more than just a podcast. It's a multimedia experience. You can enjoy the content as a blog, a both audio and visual format, or stay tuned to connect with other conversation. If you like what you hear, don't forget to subscribe, like, and hit that subscribe button, as that way you'll never miss an episode. Also, be sure to sign up for our newsletter for our latest update and exclusive content. Until next time, grab your headphones or tune in visually and let's keep that music journey together. Let's talk music because the music is everywhere.